is going on, people of the interwebs? Welcome to season 2, episode 17, otherwise known as episode number 42 of the Reverent Babble podcast. This is Cody Kelly.
Hey, 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 it's Neil Huntley.
And we're so happy that you've come back to join us for another episode. And once again, we are doing the Zoom call format just because combination of a couple things, you know, just kind of both of our schedules throughout the day, obviously, you know, it's kind of hectic. And plus two, Neil, isn't this like your first day out of quarantine since?
Yeah, this is our first day back to normal-ish life, right?
Yeah,
so today I couldn't come over to your house because I'm helping my father-in-law build a playset for one of his customers, and he really needed an next pair of hands today. And I knew that with the Zoom going over so well last week, and even just the quality of listening to the episode, you know, it went over really well.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. So I knew it wouldn't be a hard thing to try to rearrange for today. And he was very grateful for the help. We got about 2 hours worth of work done in about an hour. So, nice. You know, which always helps to cut time in half with stuff like that.
For sure.
But yes, so thank you for allowing me to get that done with him as well.
Oh yeah,
he really appreciated their help. And why not take advantage of some modern day technology and act like we're in the same room when we're really not, right?
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess this is kind of start out with what's new with me. Today's first day out of quarantine on Tuesday the 11th.
Yay!
Right? Yeah. So I'm back to work. Amber's back to work. She's feeling great. She's of course wore out today, just first day back.
Right.
And Graham's class, they're not going back to daycare until next Monday, just to be safe, make sure nobody else starts showing symptoms and things like that.
Right.
And if he were to go to daycare this week, he'd be up in the 3-year-old class, which he knows zero people up there. my mom, she works from home anyway. So she's keeping Graham at home at our house this week while she gets some work done during nap time and stuff like that. So it worked out. It worked out really good. So
yeah.
Oh yeah. So
that's awesome,
that's about what's new with me. I'm not going to really ponder too much on last week, just because it was a whirlwind. Had some other things come up that I'll keep off the airwaves, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday were pretty rough in the house, just because Amber and Graham both were feeling pretty rough and I was worried about them. But come Friday and Saturday, they were completely different people. And
that's good, man.
So they're feeling great. And we're ready to move on to much, much better times. That's for sure.
I'm sure after that whole experience last week, I'm betting you're definitely glad things are definitely obviously turning around. Obviously, you know, that's obviously good, you know, but kind of getting back to the normal-ish routine, I guess you could call it, you know, of going to work and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure that was a nice change of pace, I bet, from being, you know, stuck in a house for the last week, basically.
Oh yes, absolutely. 100%.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah, we get out of, I'm not to get too political because we don't do that on here, but we got out of quarantine just in time for there to be a quote unquote gas shortage.
Yeah.
So yay.
Right. Woohoo.
Yeah, maybe well, that's what I would say wrong that, Zoom though, is I didn't have enough gas to get to your house. That's what it was. That's why I went on Zoom, the gas shortage.
Right. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Well, what's new with you, man?
Well, let's see. I graduated from Stanley Community College last weekend.
Oh, good.
I graduated this past Thursday. So basically on the day this podcast comes out, it will have been a week since I graduated from community college. So
nice. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, man. I really do appreciate that for sure. And, you know, and what's funny is I feel like by the time I graduate, you know, with a 4-year, maybe the graduation ceremonies will kind of return back to normal, because it's funny because when I graduated high school, obviously that was, you know, May, June of 2020. You know, so the whole quarantine thing was still like a really big deal. You know, that was a lot, you know, bigger of a deal, you know, than it really has been, obviously, you know, within the last couple of months. You know, it's kind of, you know, been a bit more lax, you know, which is cool. But, you know, last year when I graduated high school, it was, you know, very self-contained, and, you know, it was very self-contained as far as like the actual graduation is concerned. I mean, obviously, like, we had people over at the house, including you and a lot of other people that were over at the house for, you know, for like a party of sorts, which thank you for, again, mm-hmm. for coming to that, by the way, last year.
Yeah, you're welcome a year later.
A year later. Thank you for that. But I mean, but I just think it's funny how it kind of went from that, from not really having anything, to me basically driving to the campus, putting on my cap and gown, walking up to a stage, waiting for them to call my name, me walking across the stage, grabbing my diploma, taking a couple pictures, walking over to this other area, take some more pictures, and then drive back home. So the entire process only took like less than 10 minutes, but hey, it was at least,
longer to get up there, didn't it?
It took me like, I think it took like 35, 40 minutes to get up there. And mm-hmm. the whole time there was about 10, 15 minutes. You know, by the time we got in there and everything was done, it was about 10, 15 minutes. So it took us like over twice as long to get there one way than what actually happened. But I was definitely obviously happy, you know, to have some form of a graduational ceremony. So, you know, that was obviously really cool being able to do that, you know, take some pictures. And then afterwards, me and my family went out to go get something to eat to celebrate that. And that was obviously a lot of fun. So we did that. So I'm just looking forward to what the next chapter holds as far as that goes, for sure. So yeah, I mean, you know, there really hasn't really been too much that's happened in the last week other than that for me, but there is something I do want to point out about the podcast, Neil.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
I think the same thing I wanted to point out too. And we hadn't even talked about it, but you pointed out first.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, like I did fact check this. Like I kind of fact check every episode because for some reason I can't remember what episode number it is every week. I have to keep looking at it. But this was something that I checked earlier while I was, you know, going through this, is that, yes, this is episode number 42, but obviously, you know, we kind of took a little bit of a break over the winter and obviously all that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. I did check, and the first episode of this podcast, episode 1, was released May 14th, 2020.
Yep. And when this comes out, it'll be the 13th.
It'll be May 13th, 2021. So basically, once this episode comes out, it will have been a year since we started this whole thing together, which is just kind of crazy to think about because it really doesn't feel like it's been a year to me.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And it's been a fun year. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, man. For sure. Absolutely. And just to see kind of where we came from in episode 1, like if you go back and listen to that one, listen to this one. I mean, obviously, you know, we're still us. But I think with the way that we chose to format it, you know, we kind of mm-hmm. added a little bit more structure to what we're doing. And we kind of, you know, and obviously, since this is our 42nd time doing an episode, pretty much, I think we kind of get an idea of what we're going into now. But I bet if you go back and listen to that first episode, because I haven't listened to it yet, but I'll probably have to go back and listen to it once this episode comes out. I'll have to go back and listen to the first one just to see what, you know, what was different between now and then, because I bet sounds a lot different from then to now.
We added a few more jingles.
Yes.
Because that first one we just went through it all, you know.
And yeah, pretty much
it was just a giant blender of everything.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like pretty much that first episode we just pressed record and didn't stop talking until we were done, and then
that's
right, and then we just hit stop record. I bet it took me like an hour to edit just because, you know, I didn't add in anything and I wasn't as keen about what to take out, what to leave in, all that kind of stuff as I kind of am now. You know, I'm a little bit more, I guess, particular about what I'm trying to, you know, one in and out, I guess, you know, compared to back then. But that was definitely something really cool that I was looking at. And, you know, and what's funny is like, this was something I was thinking about, you know, like a couple episodes ago, because I knew that time was coming up and I didn't know what the exact date was. So then I went back to look at it a little bit earlier today and it said it was May 14th, 2020. So
yeah.
Whenever this episode comes out, it will be pretty much a year since the first episode came out. So I thought that was really cool.
That's right. Very cool. Absolutely.
Happy anniversary.
Hey, you as well, man. You as well. Well, we got a good show lined up. Cody's got the Devo for this week. And then we got some sports. We're talking about some NBA. We're talking about the NASCAR race at Darlington, the throwback weekend at Darlington, which was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a baseball team that looks like they might be on the move. Y'all stick around.
All right, and we're back. Welcome to this week's Double Play Devo. And for this week's Devo, I promise you, I've tried better in the last few episodes to kind of cut down my time, because I know every other week when it's my turn, I'm sure there's at least one person who listens to who listens to this podcast and they're like, oh gosh, it's Cody's week. That means I'm gonna have to sit here and listen to him talk and ramble for 30 minutes about nothing. So I've tried better in recent episodes to kind of cut down my time instead of sounding like a, you know, like sounding like you're listening to like a Sunday morning sermon, actually make it more of a devotional, not the,
there you go,
you know, than a preacher sermon. So
that's right.
I try my best to kind of cut down that time.
A devo is 3 pages max. Sermon is 3 points max.
Yes, for sure.
So you just got your two P's messed up. You had points and pages flip flop. It's okay.
Yes, for sure. And the whole points thing, I guess we're still trying to work that out, I guess, you know, because every time I have one with points, I either have more than three or less than three. I don't ever have just three. So I need to keep working on that, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but so for this week's Devo, it's not, like I said, it's not anything too deep or fancy, but there was some news recently. If you have been paying attention to baseball, like I obviously have, I know not everybody who listens to this show does, but I'm sure you maybe have heard of this guy, at least at one point in your life, if you follow baseball at least a little bit. His name is Albert Pujols,
mm-hmm.
and he is a Major League Baseball player who is, okay, he's not on a team right now because he just got released by the Angels, which we'll talk about in just a second. But he played in the major leagues from 2001 till 2021. So this was his 21st year in the big leagues. And during his career, he was drafted in the 13th round out of a community college, of all places, by the St. Louis Cardinals. And Albert Pujols is just one of those players. If you follow baseball, you just know who he is because he's one of the best players of all time stat-wise. But in the last 20 years, he's been probably the best player to play the game in the last 20 years combined over the last 20 years. He's been a really great player both for the St. Louis Cardinals, who he played for like 11 years. And then he's been playing with the Angels up until this year when the Angels designated him for assignment, which is another word for they cut him.
Yeah. Basically, he should never left St. Louis, but that's a whole nother topic.
Yes, for sure. And that's definitely something we can talk about in the sports part if you want to, for sure. But anyway, back to the point, kind of talking about Pujols, I kind of wanted to give you some stats about him. You know me, because I'm a stat guy. For those of you who listen to this podcast on a somewhat regular basis, you would know that I like stats and I am a stat geek. So,
plus, it's kind of going to be your job when you go to school.
True. Yeah. Well, true there for sure. Kind of get, you know, warmed up a little bit, you know, kind of doing this kind of stuff for sure. But let me give you some stats about Albert Pujols. Like I said, he played in the majors from 2001 until 2021. Now, Pujols hasn't officially retired yet, so he could still play this year yet. We don't know. But this is what he's got right now. So he won National League Rookie of the Year in 2001, so he was Rookie of the Year. He is a 10-time All-Star, a 3-time MVP award winner. He is a 2-time World Series champion, both for the St. Louis Cardinals, one in 2006, one in 2011. He is a 2-time Gold Glover at first base. He is a 6-time Silver Slugger, which just means he was a really good hitter for that season. He won the batting title one year, actually. He was a 3-time winner of the MLB Player of the Year award. And he has 3,253 hits as of right now. Like I say, if he signed, he could have more, which is 13th on the all-time hit list.
Wow.
He has 667 career home runs, which is 5th all-time. And he has 2,112 runs batted in or RBIs, which is 2nd all-time. And he has a career batting average of .298. So I think it's safe to say that Albert Pujols was a really good Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, I guess that's the easiest way to put it. He was, quote, really good.
Put
that in your paper. Yeah.
He was pretty good. Yeah, for sure.
Part-time podcaster says Albert Pujols was, quote, pretty good.
Yeah.
End quote.
Yeah, he was pretty good for sure. But in all seriousness, no, Albert Pujols is an amazing, tremendous player. He's obviously contributed a lot to baseball during his career. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And if he's not, I have my opinions about the Hall of Fame writers, the ones who do that, which I'm not going to talk about in this podcast, is because I don't want to get heated during a Devo segment. So let's just kind of move on from that. But anyway, Albert Pujols, like I said, he's one of the greatest players to ever play the game. and all the stats I just mentioned are like really impressive, obviously, for sure. Mm-hmm. But something else that some people should know about Albert Pujols is that, one, he is a Christian. So that's really cool that, you know, we got that faith connection thing, obviously, with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really cool. But two, obviously, me, I've watched a lot of interviews and podcasts and things like that with Pujols in it. You know, obviously, as of recently, for sure, you know, because he just got designated for assignment. So you've heard that much more about Pujols and what he does and who he is and all that kind of stuff. And for me, Albert Pujols is one of the humblest athletes I've ever met in any sport, for that matter. I mean, like, obviously, you have a lot of humble athletes in a lot of different sports. But as far as this, who I've watched a lot of, Albert Pujols is definitely by far one of the most humble guys I've ever seen
in, absolutely,
in sports. Absolutely. You know, and obviously his faith is a big part of that, because he really tries hard, like he says, to kind of keep the perspective on all that. But I say that to just kind of say, you know, with all those stats and his accomplishments that he's had throughout his baseball career, you know, you from, you know, just a human standpoint, we think, man, this guy is on top of the world, and he can brag about what he does, you know, because, you know, he's done really good in the pros. And he's, you know, like I said, he's one of the best Major League Baseball players of all time. And he can carry himself around like, hey, man, I'm a really good baseball player. I've done all this stuff. You know, he can kind of carry
himself. Not to mention playing in a huge market in Los Angeles, too. Well,
yes.
Well, his team's so big, they play in two different towns. So.
Right, for sure. Absolutely. It's kind of unfortunate that Los Angeles team doesn't have near as much success, for sure.
Seriously, for real. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. But like I said, you know, with all those accomplishments, he could carry himself around because of his platform he has. You know, he could make it into whatever he wants. He can make it all about himself. And like a lot of people, you know, wouldn't think that much about it, you know, just because you think, okay, he's a really good athlete. So, and a really good pro player, you know, so he's just going to, treat himself, you know, pretty good about all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. He's going to kind of let people know how good he was. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's just not Albert Pujols' thing. And I've definitely learned that from watching him, one, play, but two, just hearing him talk about his faith and about Jesus and just about how he makes it his mission to impact other people in so many ways. And that kind of leads me to my point, is that Albert Pujols has a huge platform and he can use it for whoever he wants to, but he uses his platform to glorify Jesus and to share Jesus with other people. And that's something that, for that big of a platform, is really cool to see. And that's really inspiring to me, just knowing that a guy as high level as he is and in sports and just the position he has, he can have a chance to impact so many other people. And I'm sure he's obviously done that a lot, you know,
absolutely,
like not only in the sports world, but his faith as well. And that's obviously really cool. But something that I heard, and this is funny because I listened to a podcast called the Sports Spectrum Podcast. And the Sports Spectrum podcast is one of the podcasts out of a group called Sports Spectrum. And basically what they are is they're just a podcast group. It's like a few different podcasts. And basically every episode they bring in a former player or even current players or coaches or whatever. And they bring them in and they talk about obviously what they've done or are doing in sports. But obviously they talk about their faith too. And that's the big thing about that too. And their, you know, faith in Christ and how they've been able to share that with other people throughout their career and even post-career mm-hmm. if they're not playing anymore. And listening to one of the episodes of the Sports Spectrum podcast, which shout out to you guys. I know you're probably not listening to this, but if you are, thank you just for showing the episode, because I really enjoy listening to it. You know, but anyway, one of the episodes they had, it was actually recently, and this was actually just a couple of days before they designated Pujols for assignment, was when they had this episode. So I thought that was kind of funny timing, for sure. But anyway, so they were talking to Pujols and, you know, asking him obviously about his career and all that kind of stuff and how he did in baseball and all that. But every time he was asked about that, he just kept giving glory to Jesus through his career and just all his accomplishments. And one of the things that he said is, I don't want to be remembered for what I did on the field. Obviously, I accomplished a lot of things and, you know, really amazing things that, you know, not a lot of people will ever do. And that's obviously something I'm going to completely, you know, enjoy for the rest of my life and keep that in mind. But I don't want to be remembered as a great baseball player. I want to be remembered as somebody who used that baseball platform to help other people reach Jesus or reach our people for Jesus.
Exactly. And,
you know, which obviously you hear that statement a lot from people, no matter what kind of platform they have. And that's kind of what I'll get into in a minute. But to hear a guy who's accomplished that much, and just the way he said it too, like he didn't just say it for the words, you could tell he was really genuine in what he was saying about that too. And that just kind of really, you know, and kind of listening to that just had a really big impact on me, just knowing that this guy's using his platform as big as it is to talk about stuff that's really important to him, and it's glorifying God and glorifying Jesus too. And as Christians, we're obviously supposed to be, you know, called to be set apart from our people and glorify Christ as well. But I kind of want to say that because we can do that no matter how big of a platform we have.
Right.
Albert Pujols has a really big platform. Like I said, he can use that for whatever he wants, but he's choosing it to glorify Jesus. Now, you know, now obviously not all of us are, you know, Major League Baseball players, you know, so we don't, you know, get that type of exposure, but we have a platform of some sort. Everybody has a platform of some sort in their life, because everybody has at least one person that looks up to them in their life. A lot of times it's a lot more. There are people who are watching your actions every day, and especially if they know that you're a Christian, you have a platform to help impact other people and reach them for Christ. I know for me, one of the big things for me when I first was volunteering with Wingate's baseball team was, you know, I was obviously 14 years old when I started, you know, and I'm surrounded by a bunch of college kids and stuff like that. You know, and what's funny is I remember the head coach talking to the players after practice one day. I wasn't in the huddle. I was kind of working on my own thing in the dugout, you know, but obviously, you know, they're having a meeting, you know, like right next to the dugout, you know, so I can hear what they're saying, obviously, you know, and like basically what, you know, Coach Gregory, the head coach, was saying is he's like, listen, whether you think of it or not, all of you guys have a platform, and this guy here is looking up to all you guys. Now, you guys may not know it, but everything that you do is going to have an impact on somebody.
Right.
You know, and whether that's a big platform or not, you guys may not think you do, you know, because you're playing for, you know, you're playing for a Division II college baseball team that, you know, not a lot of people, unless you're a really big college baseball fan or, you know, from the surrounding area, haven't really heard of. But as small as you think your platform is really important, and it can have an impact on other people. You know, that obviously applies to life as well, but especially in our Christian walk. And we're called to be set apart and have and use our platform, no matter how big or small we think it is, to help glorify Christ through our actions and share him with other people. And that kind of leads me into a couple of verses I kind of want to, you know, talk about to kind of explain this concept a little bit more in depth. I'm kind of, and these are verses I thought that was really cool, and I thought that kind of added more to this. So in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, I have it right here in front of me so I can read it for you. Okay. And it's in the, and this is in the New King James Version. And it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And then I'm going to read out Titus 2, verse 7, also in the New King James Version. This is another verse I thought was really cool. And it says, "In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility." So I just thought that those were good examples of just, you know, obviously the first passage in Matthew says, you know, kind of what, you know, we've been talking about. We're called to be set apart from the world. We're called to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city set upon a hill that's different. And then in Titus, it kind of explains, you know, that we're supposed to follow a pattern of God that's different from other people. So kind of my whole point is this, like I said, this is, you know, not really deep or anything. I just thought this was really cool. Albert Pujols is still using his platform, even though right now he's not currently playing baseball. Hopefully he'll be able to maybe get one more chance before the end of the season, maybe, you know, finish out his career on a high note, you know, but even if he doesn't, I think he's okay with that because he knows why he was given his position. He was given is that he was using his platform, whether he's playing now or not. A lot of people in the sports world, especially, know who he is. And he's using that platform to honor and glorify God through his platform. So why can't we, as believers ourselves, use our platform to honor God through our actions and to reach others to Christ in our platform that we have? Because everybody has a platform of some sort. It's mm-hmm. obviously not going to be the same for everybody, but, you know, that's on purpose, you know, because like, you know, because like for me, Neil, you can reach people that I couldn't reach just because of your circle of friends and other people that you have around you. And like for me, you know,
and vice versa. Yeah.
And vice versa. You know, there are people that I can reach that you couldn't just because of the circumstances and the circles that we're around. So we all have a platform of some sorts that we can use to glorify God and reach others for Christ. So no matter how big or small you think that platform is, use it for God's glory and don't ever doubt yourself because of where you think you are on the platform. You can make a difference in somebody's life, and you are put in those positions to make differences in our people's lives as well.
Yeah. Amen to that, man. You hit it right on the head, and you know, people have to be ready to make sacrifices for stuff like that. You know, I think Pujols as you know, as much of a Hall of Fame career as he has, he'd throw it all away if it came between him and his faith, you know?
Right. For sure.
Another guy that's kind of been in the news this week with a Christian athlete is Tim Tebow. You know, he was getting pulled away from the NFL, you know, he was kind of, his skill kind of wasn't there. And a lot of people didn't really agree with his way of thinking, and that kind of didn't, you know, help his NFL career early on.
Right.
And then he went and did other things. He went and preached. He went and played minor league baseball. You know, he was in the Mets organization for a good while. And now all of a sudden he's getting a shot to play in the NFL again as a tight end for the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, during that whole time, he didn't lose his faith. And during that whole time, he didn't trade his faith for anything. So it all works out. I mean, is it sad that Pujols is, you know, cut in year 10 of his 10-year deal? Yeah, it's really sad, you know, because that 10-year deal in LA or Anaheim, whichever one they're in, that did not
the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. So I guess
that's right. it didn't come to the full value that people thought it would, you know,
it did not
meet the expectations, and which was a bummer. And it made it even more of a sour taste, you know, in the mouths of people that are not diehard Angel fans, that we, you know, we see them seldomly on TV just because they're on the West Coast. It made it even more sour that they cut him in the last year of that monumental deal, you know?
Right.
But during this whole time, sure, he probably bummed out, probably would rather it go another way, but he wouldn't trade his faith for nothing. And he used his platform no matter what. He could have been a double A ball player for 15 years and that'd been it, but he would have, you know, still used his platform to glorify God. And we have to be willing to do that no matter what we're in, just like you said. All right. It is sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is the Weekly Score. All right, Cody, let's do some NASCAR. Let's talk some NASCAR. We kind of put that on the back burner past couple weeks just because we had the NFL preview, NFL draft preview,
yes,
and then the NFL draft review, you know?
Yes.
And it was kind of hard to fit other stuff into it just because that's, you know, that's a whole show in and of itself.
Right.
But I wanted to make time at least 5 minutes or so. It don't even have to be that long to talk about the throwback weekend at Darlington, which is one of my favorite race weekends.
Yeah.
Because they all make an effort to make their cars look different, to kind of have a tribute to a car that was, or a driver that drove that number before, or a tribute to somebody else in their team. You know, it don't even have to be the same number. It could be just a scheme from way back when. But it was an awesome weekend all around. Mainly, I'm going to talk about the Cup race because that's really the main one that most NASCAR fans will watch and enjoy. Now, the Xfinity race, that was fun. I didn't get to see any of the Truck Series race, but those are good to watch as well. But yeah, with the Cup race, Martin Truex Jr. won his third race of the year.
Yeah, okay? No.
And he didn't just win it. He dominated this race. Okay.
Yes, he did. Absolutely.
So this was the, so usually in the years past, Darlington only had one date. Okay. Where they only had one weekend of races at Darlington and it was a playoff race. But this year they have two races. Okay. Cause they took a race away from, I think it was from Chicago, or there's not one in California this year. And there was, they took the race away from Kentucky just to kind of change some things up. So it left an open date for Darlington to get a second weekend. This one happened to fall on Mother's Day. And so they usually have the throwback weekend down into playoffs when it gets into the fall. But this year they decided a throwback weekend will be on Mother's Day, which is really cool to have basically a day race with all the throwback schemes, which made it even more of a throwback that it was a day race too. But getting back to MTJ, who I'm still a fan of, I know I'm a number one Briscoe fan, but my number two guy is definitely Truex Jr. I don't care that one's a Ford, one's a Toyota, whatever. That's fine. But MTJ, there was 293 laps in this race. It was the Goodyear 400, okay, which is the cool old school sponsor for a race. Yes. Anyway, Goodyear.
Well, plus two, it's nice to have a, you know, like a normal name this time instead of the whatever in the world the other race was called last week.
The Bushy McBush race.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we went from the Bushy McBush race, so I can't even say, to the Goodyear 400. So things are getting back to normal.
Yeah.
293 laps in this race to make it right about 400 miles. MTJ led 248 laps.
Wow.
So 248 out of 293.
Yes, I think the word dominant was a pretty good choice there, Neil, for sure.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it got really interesting with about 15 to 20 laps left, because Kyle Larson was running so fast.
Yeah, he was running hard.
Cutting through people left and right. He even threaded the needle where there was two cars running side by side that were lap cars. They were lap down, okay? Ooh. And he rode in between them to try to keep up with Truex Jr. But you know what, looking back at the highlights and after watching it live, I thought, you know, Larson just burned out all his tricks. You know, he was running too hard, too quick to catch Truex, that he burned out his tires. They lost their grip, you know, stuff like that. But I think Truex's car was just so much better than everybody else's. I mean, just case in point, he led 248 out of 293 laps. Okay. So,
right, for sure.
Something's working pretty well.
Like, so obviously it was working there. Yeah,
absolutely. Sure. And but Larson made it interesting. But about every time Larson would get within a second and a half, 2 seconds behind him, all of a sudden Truex would just put it in a different gear and be like, all of a sudden 5 or 6 seconds ahead of him. So I mean, it was like he was toying with him almost. But to see a guy that he did get into the playoffs last year and he had a pretty decent run, but just ran out of luck. But to see him this year, this early, dominating the way he is, it's really impressive. And if you'd have told me that Truex Jr. would have won three times before Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch have won one race,
right?
Well, Busch won one race. He won a race last week, but he would have three compared to one for Kyle Busch, zero for Denny Hamlin. I mean, out of the JGR group, that's crazy.
Yes, it is, for sure. And like, that was my point I was going to bring up, is like, it's funny how this whole season started out with like someone different winning a race every week. And now the one person who's actually won like multiple races is a guy that you wouldn't expect to win this many races before other guys win multiple races. Like you said, like guys like, you know, Denny Hamlin hasn't even won one yet. So, you know, just to see things like that is, you know, kind of adds more, even more to what this NASCAR season has already been.
Oh, and don't discredit, and I'm not saying you are, but for anybody, don't discredit Truex at all. I mean, he's a Cup champion. Okay. He's won a series championship, in his career. But I mean, when you think of the group over at JGR, you got him, you got Kyle Busch, you got Denny Hamlin, you got Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell has won a race this year. Okay. He won the road course at Daytona, and Denny is sitting over there with a goose egg. You know,
right.
Not only is he sitting over there with a goose egg, but I mean, granted, he is number one in points just because he runs so well, just hadn't won yet.
Right.
He's got a goose egg on wins, and the car he owns, they can't seem to get it together. So it's you know, it's probably frustrating, double dose of frustration for him. Probably right. helps a little bit that he's number one in points. But, you know, Denny wants to get that win, especially with all these guys that are winning. You know, Truex has got three, right. but after that, you got different winners every week. And if it keeps going this way, you're going to have to win a race to get in. It's going to be as simple as that. I mean, it's not a great possibility, but it's a definite small possibility, if that even makes sense, of there being 16 different winners in this playoff, you know,
nobody right, for sure. points.
But it's going to be interesting. That was really it. I mean, you had Logano sped on pit road. He had to do a penalty. He was running really good until then, and then ended up finishing, I think, 14th, which I think at the end of the race, I think 9 or 10 cars were on the lead lap. That's how much Truex was dominating. And, you know, some people want to call this a boring race. I didn't find it boring just because it fit the throwback feel of it. You want to make this a really throwback race? Take out the stages. Just run 298 laps straight up like old school.
Right.
And if they would have done that, Truex might have been the only car on the lead lap the way he was running. Okay.
Right. So
the stage breaks is what saved some of these guys on the lead lap. And, you know, I think we're just so used to really tight races. We're so used to, you know, the dramatic crashes late into the races and things like that. But this was,
we're not as used to someone just going out there from the jump and just,
absolutely. Right. I mean, if you go back and watch a race from the 80s, early 90s, of course, you're going to see those few times where, you know, Earnhardt got into somebody and really, really wrecked them, you know. But other than that, you're going to see guys like Earnhardt. You're going to see guys like Ernie Irvin. You're going to see guys like Mark Martin out there just dominating. Okay. You're going to see that. Now, did Ernie Irvin dominate as much as Earnhardt Martin? No, but that was just the first one that jumped up in my head. So when Parrish listens to this, he's going to go, "What? Ernie Irvin? Is this guy crazy?" But yeah,
he's going to be like, "What?"
They didn't call him Swerving Irvin for nothing. Okay.
That's true.
But I didn't find this a boring race. I enjoyed it, you know, and
right.
And to see the end of it, which, you know, I guess was a blessing in disguise. I was in quarantine. I finally got to see the end of a race.
Yeah. It's like, wow, you got to see the end of a race this time.
That's right. But I really enjoyed it. And if you want the drama every single week, if you want these crazy crashes, you might as well just go back and watch videos on YouTube. Okay. Right. But these are the kind of races that race fans enjoy sometimes. Okay. It's okay to have this. It's okay to have a guy that's trying to give it his all the last 10 laps to get up, and then all of a sudden you just realize, hey, maybe the guy that's led 80% of this race, maybe he's just meant to win, who knows, you know. So
right.
But it was a really good weekend. I personally enjoyed the race. I know some people didn't, but we're on to Dover next week, which is a whole nother monster in and of itself. Granted, it is called the Monster Mile, but that'll be fun, and we'll talk about that next week.
All right, Neil, let's talk some NBA basketball, man.
Yeah, let's do it, buddy.
The NBA regular season is almost over, and by the time this podcast episode comes out, there's only going to be like two games left or one game left of the regular season, depending on who's playing, you know, because the Hornets have a couple of makeup games that they still have mm-hmm. to play,
right?
You know, because of when they were playing the Spurs and the whole COVID thing happening with them and all that, you know, so the Hornets still have a couple more games they have to play. But once this episode is out, the regular season will be pretty much over and we'll be looking towards the NBA playoffs. Now, because that is the case, I kind of want to talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs, because there is a change this year to the playoff format that we did see a little bit of last year, obviously, you know, with the COVID bubble and all that kind of stuff. But obviously now we have more of like an actual season. So we kind of been able to see how this has progressed through basically a whole year. I mean, obviously we haven't had a complete season for NBA standards, obviously, you know, because of this time schedule and all that kind of stuff with the Olympics and all that coming up too. But right. The big change in the playoff format this year compared to last year is, obviously, for those of you who aren't familiar with the NBA playoff format, normally how it goes is the top 8 seeds from each conference, the Eastern and Western Conference, if I can talk right, the top 8 seeds in those each of those two conferences meet in the playoffs, and it's basically like a bracket style, 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, so on and so forth. But there's going to be a little bit of a change this year to how the last seeds are going to be chosen. And that is, at the end of the regular season, seeds 1 through 6 are going to be like usual. They're going to be automatically locked in as those seeds. Mm-hmm. But what's going to be different this year is that the 7 and 8 seeds aren't guaranteed to be the 7 and 8 seeds this year.
Right.
How it's going to work this year is it's going to be a play-in tournament between the 7 and 8 and the 9 and 10 seeds. The 7 through 10 seeds are going to get a chance to be in the playoffs. So you could see a 10 seed make it to the playoffs.
What?
This year. So that could be pretty crazy. So how it's going to work this year, and this is something I had to look up, was this was a little bit confusing when I first heard about it. So, like, obviously, once it kind of got closer to the playoffs, I, you know, kind of had to fact check and make sure I got this right, because this is a little bit complicated. So how it works is, for this playing tournament, like I said, seeds 1 through 6, they're the same. They're good. You don't got to worry about them until the actual playoffs start. But how this play-in tournament is going to work, that's what they're calling it, is that the 7 seed is going to play the 8 seed, which is a little bit weird, because you'd think a play-in tournament, you kind of think 7 seed maybe versus the 10 seed and 8 seed mm-hmm. versus the 9 seed. But how mm-hmm. they're doing it is the 7 seed is going to play the 8 seed for the first game. The winner of that is going to be the 7 seed in the tournament. So if the 8 seed beats the 7 seed, the 8 seed now is the 7 seed.
So when and you're in.
Yes, pretty much. So win and you're in. Now, the loser of that game does not go home yet. They don't go home yet. So then the next game is the 9 seed versus the 10 seed. The winner of that plays the loser of the 7 versus 8 seed game. Okay. And the loser of the 9 versus 10 seed goes home. So the loser of that game goes home. The loser of the 9 and 10 seed game is eliminated. They're not in the playoffs. They're out. But the winner of the 9 and 10 seed game will play the loser of the 7 and 8 seed game, and then the winner of that becomes the 8 seed in the playoffs.
Wow.
So basically, for the playoffs, you got 3 extra games. It's basically like a wild card round that the NBA mm-hmm. has never had. You know, that's it's right. Well, that's basically what this is it's basically the NBA implementing a wild card round, like how the NFL and the MLB, you know, have their wild card rounds, you know, for their playoff brackets and things like that. This is basically the NBA's way of implementing a quote-unquote wild card into the mix before the actual playoffs starts.
Well, I'll go ahead and say I like it, because it shows that the playoff format can be changed easier than we thought it could.
Right, for sure. Absolutely.
It'll add some more drama to it, of course. That'll be fun with the play-in games and stuff.
Yeah.
But this is just my personal take, and I have no idea how many people agree with me. And if you disagree with me, that's fine. I'm not going to argue over it. But I don't think in a normal this let's pretend the playing games don't exist. Okay. Uh-huh. Let's just pretend it's 8 seeds and 8 over here and 8 over here. Okay.
Right.
The first 2 rounds should not be 7 games.
No, not at all. No.
7-game series do not belong in hockey or basketball. Okay.
I 100% agree with you on that. And this is my opinion. What I think they should do is they should do like Major League Baseball does. I think you should make the first round best out of 5.
Yeah, at the most.
At the most. Like, I'd be cool with the best out of 3, to be honest with you. You know, for the first
round. Because you have the first round, second round, then you have the semis, and then the conference finals, and then the final, right?
You got the first round, and then you got the quarterfinals, which is the top 4 seeds, and then you got the conference championship, or the, you said, the semifinals, and then obviously you got the actual NBA finals with the
in my head I had an extra round in there, so never mind, forget what I said. delete. No, I'm just kidding, keep it in there.
Yeah, for sure, it's fine. Yeah, for
it
sure
is, it is 10 o'clock at night.
Yes, true there, for sure, absolutely. I think both of us are a little bit tired today, but I'm sure that it's you a lot more than me. But anyway, what I think that they should do, because I'm with you, I don't mind this play-in bracket. You know, like, to me, it's kind of cool because it adds a little bit of extra to it, you know, compared to what it normally was. But what I think they should do is, like you said, have it be a playing game, you know, just one game, you know, that kind of thing. But I think once the first round starts, you know, like you said, even pretending that this play-in tournament doesn't exist, once you reach the regular playoffs, have the first round be a best out of 3, and then have the second round be a best out of 5, and then have the conference championship and then the finals be best out of sevens, like it is in Major League Baseball. I liked how Major League Baseball implemented the best of three for the wild card series. Mm-hmm. I loved that last year. That was awesome. I loved the best out of three wild card rounds, essentially, you know, because they changed the playoff format and they had the top six teams from each league go into the thing instead of the top five like it normally is. But what I'm saying is that do a best out of three for the first round, best out of five for the quarterfinals, and then for the conference finals and the NBA finals, do it like you normally do, best out of seven. Because I think that's more fun that way. And plus, too, it's just a lot less games to play. And let's be honest, when it's a one seed versus an eight seed, you don't want to see him play four games.
No.
Really don't want to see him play four games. You want to see at the most them play three, at the most play three, if it even lasts three games. Because, I mean, like, obviously there's a chance of an eight seed being a one seed, but, you know, but like, here's the thing, especially too, like in the Eastern Conference, you don't want to see Brooklyn or Philadelphia playing a team like the Pacers or even the Hornets in a seven game series in the first round. Just because most likely, even if those other teams win a couple more games, it's just going to drag out that series that much longer. And unless you're a diehard fan of that team, you don't want to see that.
Right.
You go that long for sure. So, but I just thought it was interesting the way that the NBA implemented this new play-in bracket. And if you ask me, I think it's a cool idea. And I hope that they would honestly keep this, because I think it just adds a little bit of extra flavor to the playoffs. Plus, too, from a financial standpoint, it's more games you can.
That's right. More advertisement. Yep.
And as far as how it affects the Hornets, obviously the Hornets right now are in that little area to where they're going to most likely have to be in this play-in tournament. So unless things just kind of go crazy at the end where the Hornets win all their games and a couple other teams lose all their games, the Hornets are going to most likely be in this play-in tournament. So I am curious to see how this is going to pan out, especially because it's going to hit to, you know, the team is close to home for us, and we'll get to kind of experience that firsthand. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that's going to work out.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Yeah. We'll see what happens. I mean, I've learned in the past week that a lot can happen in a week.
Yes.
So we'll see how it all looks this time next week when we're recording.
Absolutely, man, for sure. All right, Neil, let's talk some Major League Baseball for just a few minutes, because there's a couple of topics, but this first one we're going to talk about, you know, something that's been in discussion, but now it's kind of becoming official.
Mm-hmm.
And the first topic is the first topic is that the Oakland A's have been told by Major League Baseball to start looking at other cities to relocate to.
Yep.
Which obviously for me, from a baseball fan standpoint, this is something that you could definitely see coming, just because the A's fans, you know, basically, like, the A's are a West Coast version of the Rays. They're a small market team. They don't have a ton of fans that come to their games, which is weird, because really both of them are pretty good teams. They both are really good teams. They just don't get a lot of attendance. But like I said, they're basically like a West Coast version of the Rays. They're just a really good team that kind of goes under the radar every year until something good happens. And then once that season's over, they're not talked about ever again until the next year when they do good again. Because the A's for the last couple of years have been a really good team for sure. And they've been a team that's gotten into that wild card round, I think, the last 3 years in a row, three, 4 years in a row, playing some really good baseball. But now Major League Baseball has told them officially, and like I said, this has been in discussion for a while, like, obviously not like to this length, you know, but just people who watch baseball fans in general are like, okay, this team's got to be moved at some point just because it's Oakland's, you know, and obviously here in recent years, we've seen pretty much every team that was in Oakland move out of Oakland to somewhere.
Because
you had the Warriors move and the Raiders move to Las Vegas, you know, this past NFL season. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the NBC Sports article about it right now, and the president of the Oakland A's, Dave Cavall, he has said that they either will get their new stadium in, it's called called Howard Terminal, which is just the area over there on the bay.
Right.
So they either get their new waterfront park that they've been wanting for like 20 years.
Right.
Or they either get it, like they either get a plan this year or they're gone. They're leaving, period. Okay.
Right.
It's a flip of the coin. It's not, if you don't do it, we might leave. It's if this doesn't happen, we are gone. Okay.
Right.
And that's a whole different thing than what it's been with other teams that have kind of teased about relocating. Okay.
Like now, Tampa Bay, for example.
Like Tampa Bay. You know, they, before COVID, they mentioned that they would play half their games in Tampa, another half in Montreal, which, you know, I'm really happy that didn't work out, because that was just a train wreck from the get-go. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, we, like you, like kind of repeating what you said, this is the last team in Oakland. Okay. Yeah. The Warriors, they're playing San Francisco now. Now, they're called Golden State. They represent the whole state of California. They represent the Bay Area, which is Oakland and San Francisco. But they left the city of Oakland.
Yes.
and moved their new arena in San Francisco. The Raiders, they're gone. They're in Vegas. Okay. Yeah. You know why? Because they play in the same crummy, whatever you want to call it, stadium that
as
they
A's playing do
in right now. Okay. And it's a terrible, awful stadium. Okay. And before the Raiders moved to Vegas, there was a plan for them to play football at the Giants ballpark, just because they refused to
just
play.
Just because
in
they didn't want to play
stadium
in Oakland anymore.
Yeah. Just because that's how bad it is over there. Okay. That's how bad the market is. That's how bad that they don't get any attention over there. They have, don't get me wrong, they have some diehards. Now, we saw that.
They got big diehards.
The Oakland Raiders had, you know, the black hole. They had a bunch of diehards. But other than that, that was about it, okay? Now, do the Oakland A's have some diehards? I'm sure they do, okay?
Absolutely.
They're a fun ball team to watch, and you explained it perfectly. They are a West Coast Tampa Bay. That's exactly what they are, okay? Just right now, their president, the A's president, he's got a little bit more guts to say, hey, if we don't get something new, we're gone. Unlike Tampa Bay right now, it's like, well, it's whatever.
We'll just see what happens. Maybe we'll move. Maybe we won't.
They basically play in Epcot.
Yeah.
That's what their ballpark looks like.
Yeah, pretty much right now. Well, it's funny because I'm actually going to go on vacation here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to go to Florida, and we're going to go to a Rays game. So I'll be able to see the Rays stadium in person and all –
The concrete sphere.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'll get to see all like 200 fans that are going to be there for the game. So that'd be cool for sure.
Yeah, I have two realistic guesses if the A's do end up relocating. My first guess is obvious, is Vegas. Okay.
Right.
We've seen Vegas flourish, you know, with the new stuff. I mean, they got the hockey team, the Golden Knights.
They
were in the Stanley Cup final the first year they were a team. Okay. Right. And they weren't a relocated team. They were an expansion team.
They were an expansion team, yes.
Which is even more impressive. Then you had the Raiders relocate out there. And, you know, the first season there, they have COVID, so no fans. But their stadium, I mean, look how beautiful that stadium is.
Right.
They have no reason not to flourish in Vegas, okay? Vegas recently got a minor league team, the Aviators, and they have a beautiful ballpark out there. And they will do pretty well on ticket sales because of the area that they're in, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Vegas, your opinions about it, you know, kind of leave it to the side about what type of city it is and things like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a good market for sports.
Okay. Absolutely is, yes,
I mean,
for sure.
I'm not a gambling person.
I mean, which is funny that really a team up until recently was never in Las Vegas to begin with, just because it's a really good market city.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you can say what you want to about the city, which is obviously understandable. But, you know, obviously from a sports marketing standpoint, it's one of the best cities you could play at.
Oh, I agree 100%. So, I mean, I see Vegas as being an ideal spot. You know, there's always been talks of an MLB team moving up to Portland. Okay.
Right. Portland, Oregon. Yep.
And then if you want to come across the Mississippi, you know, there's always been talks of Nashville getting a team.
Nashville, okay? Yeah.
And Charlotte always gets thrown into the mix sometimes too. Now, the East Coast locations are more of a reach just because
it's a Western conference. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a Western division. It wouldn't make much sense.
Or division, excuse me, when I say conference.
But,
sorry.
But I mean, you know, stuff like that happens all the time. I mean, shoot, the Panthers, when they became a team, they played in the NFC West, and the Braves played in the NL West for a good while too.
Yeah, pretty good bet too.
Just until they restructure everything. But I mean, who knows? Maybe the A's relocating opens the eyes of MLB, and we get our first or two, one or two new expansion teams that we hadn't had in a long time.
In a really baseballs. Long time.
So just because your city doesn't get the Oakland A's, which would be really cool if Charlotte got the Oakland A's, you know?
Oh, wow.
I mean, that would be awesome.
That'd be insane if they were able to do that.
I would love it because I would still stay a diehard Braves fan, but I would love having an AL team to go watch, you know, to see them play AL opponents like you play in the Red Sox or the Yankees and people like that.
Well, trust me, being a watcher of American League baseball, I mean, obviously I try to watch all baseball, you know, but obviously I kind of tend to watch more American League, you know, just because, you know, I'm a Red Sox fan, you know, so I get to see more American League teams, obviously. And I think it's funny because the Red Sox are actually playing the A's in the series right now as we're recording this. Yeah. They're actually playing a series against Oakland right now. So I think that's kind of ironic. But anyway, so there are a lot of good players on that Oakland team, dude, that obviously with them possibly going to be relocating or looking like they are going to be relocating really shortly. This is a matter of when, really. But It's just a matter of which players are going to be staying with that team. Because like I said, Oakland's like Tampa Bay. They got really good players, but once those players start getting expensive, they can't keep them.
That's right. Where's Charlie Morton this year? He's in Atlanta, you know? What's the guy that went to San Diego?
Blake Snell went to the Padres. Snell.
Yeah, he's in San Diego. So, I mean, once they get expensive, they're gone. So, getting to a bigger market, it probably will pay off for both Tampa Bay and for Oakland. And for the A's fans, this is not good. Okay, this is not fun.
It ain't fun at all.
I was really young when it happened around here, but I remember when the Hornets moved to New Orleans. Okay.
Yeah.
That was not a good day when that happened. It was very sad. Okay. And it felt like another city was stealing our team away. It really did feel like that. Okay. Right. And it's going to feel like that to Oakland fans when they move, even if they move, you know, just up to Vegas. But I mean, they're going to feel like their team was just taken from them. And as diehard as a fan as you are, there's not a thing you can do about it. Okay.
Right.
But I mean, it's going to be a tough situation. And it looks like now that this whole, you know, probably 15, 20 year standoff between the Athletics and the city of Oakland is finally coming to an end.
Yes, for sure. And it seems like this is actually finally becoming official instead of just something that's been discussed over the last 15, 20 years, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool deal, man.
Okay.
Yeah, you go ahead. What you got?
Okay. Yes. Well, like I said, first part of the segment, I got two things I want to talk about.
Oh, obviously, I'm sorry.
You know, we just talked about the A's and all that. The other thing I want to mention real quick is that the Red Sox are number one in the power rankings right now. Okay.
Right now. They did lose to Oakland tonight. I just want to remind you of that.
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, they did. But we're still number one for the week. So it doesn't matter.
There you go.
It doesn't matter right now. Up until next week, they're still number one. So it doesn't matter what happens in the next week. We're still ranked number one right now. So I just thought I'd get that out before things go dramatically wrong like they always do whenever I talk about stuff like this. So
that way it's saved on the podcast forever.
Yep, pretty much.
Well, awesome, man. Well, cool deal. Well, thank you all for listening to this week's episode. It's been a fun episode. We usually record these on Tuesday afternoons, but right now it's 10:20 on Tuesday night, and I'm tired. And Cody, just to be quite honest, I'm ready to go to bed.
Well,
so I'm sure you're not too far from bed either.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like once we finish recording this episode, I'm just going to kind of make sure the recording is saved and all that kind of stuff, and then on to bed too. So I ain't too far behind you there for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But as we have always done since the start of this new season, as we close out, we always have our minor league baseball team of the week that we choose at random. It's Cody's turn to pick. He told me to pick a letter of the alphabet. I chose the letter M.
Yes.
And so we went with this week's minor league baseball team of the week, which is
the Midland, however you pronounce it, Rockhounds.
Which ironically
is the AA team for the Oakland Athletics. This is not set up. We have to make sure we say this again. This is not a setup. Like, I understand that we had a team. Which team was it that we were talking about? The Cannonballers too. You know, so this is something that I want to reiterate for the record. This was determined at random. So we did not intentionally pick this team because we were talking about Oakland tonight. This just happened to be the pick. So
that's right.
Okay, but getting back to it, the Midland Rockhounds, they are a double A team for the Oakland Athletics. They are in the double A Central, obviously starting this year because of the new minor league realignments. They are in the South Division, and they have been with the Oakland Athletics since 1999, which is funny because they were previously with their division rivals, the California/Anaheim Angels at the time, from 1985 to 1998. And they were with the Chicago Cubs from 1972 to 1984 because their team was founded in 1972. Let's see. Their colors are blue, gold, and white. Not really anything too special, like any of those specially named colors like we've had in the past. So that's kind of unfortunate. What's cool is their logo is like a little bottle cap looking thing. I know it's supposed to be a baseball, but it looks like a bottle cap with the rugged edges, with a hound dog with a bat over one of his shoulders, and in his other hand he's holding a baseball, and he looks like he's ready to smack a ball 495 feet to left field, and it looks really cool. But something else that's really cool is that their mascots' names are Juice the Moose, Rocky Rockhound, which is probably that dog that's on the logo, and PK the Coyote.
Nice.
Their ballpark is Momentum Bank Ballpark. They are owned by Miles Prentice and Bob Richmond. Their general manager is Monty Hoppel, however you say it. And their manager is Scott Steinman. So there you go. That is the Midland/Midland Rockhounds, the AA team of the Oakland Athletics.
Nice. Cool deal, man. Well, thank y'all once again for listening on to this week's podcast. It's good to be out of the house and back in our normal routine.
Yes.
So thank y'all for the ones that were praying for us. And thank you, Lord, for getting us through it as well.
Yes. Thank you so much.
But we thank y'all again for listening along. Follow us on social media, and we will see y'all next time. Bye.
And once again, happy anniversary to our podcast this year.